Yeah, Dennis, I did work for him, and he was right. Balancing the drawer was the worst thing. I almost left early just so I wouldn't have to push that button. Because it was just, and back then, 3 to 5 cents was an issue. Now I think it's $10 to $15. I don't know what it is.
That's right.
About that, it was just a sense of, well, when you deal with people all day long, and then sometimes you punch the wrong button, that just spoils it. But it was good. And listen, I'm glad to see you brothers this morning. It's been a long time.
Hallelujah.
My wife has got some physical issues that has kept me away. I've been with this group. Ed, I think, is the oldest member of this group, I think. Yeah, I will. No, you're all right. You're going to take the mic away from me? No, no. But the reality is that this is probably one men's group that could be the envy of men group across the country.
Man.
Because I remember Daryl Ball used to say, there's no leadership here. The group is the leadership. You know, when one guy can't make it for something like speakers, somebody else will show up and take the place, or, you know, we're pushing the boat on getting Ed to play the accordion, but other than that, he does a great job. I guess he learned a long time ago. But you look at who's around you this morning, and men that have been here for a short period of time, men have been here a long time. Praise God, my son-in-law shows up. He's going to help me move some furniture today. But got 5 grandsons, 1 granddaughter. Loved my wife of over 60 years. She's had some physical issues, and that's the reason I don't make it anymore. But just to know that you men are here, and I'm sure you all feel and sense that same thing. This is a group of men that are leaders of their homes, business people. Just the immense spirituality in this room just blows me away.
Holy.
I didn't come to know Jesus until I was 38 years of age. And some of you may know that, some of you don't, but I had an aneurysm. I had a blood vessel bust in my head, and they gave me about 10% chance to make it through the night. And I see why. I understand why. I see 5 grandsons, 1 granddaughter, a wife, and what God has done.
Amen.
In our lives today. And I'm sure you men, we all have a story. And I hope that your stories have brought you here this morning. I just assume that you guys be up here telling your story. So I don't know. I went through about 3 different things in the last 2 weeks. One of them was Ed wanted me just to fill in a slot one time, but he loves me, so he gave me another chance to do it in the end of February instead of somewhere in January. And it's as many speakers as have been up here, you wonder what could I say to you guys? What could I bring in a morning like this that is going to be something you haven't already heard? And well, I don't know where this is going to go, guys. So if I see you leaving, I'll understand. If you're going to stick around, I'll understand. And the rest of it is in God's hand. He's going to do the rest of it for me. Wasn't sure how to start out this morning. This can be do all of you know what viewpoint of God's leadership your churches are in? There's complementarianism, and there's egalitarianism. Thank you, Ed. I saw your lips moving. We kind of right. You know what that means. Carl knows what it means. I'm sure Ed does, and others. It's a sense of the leadership in a church. God's leadership in the church. Who has been called to do that? And I'm going to say that, and I appreciate Gene's wife being here this morning, but the reality is God calling a man or a woman to lead a church. My church, the one I go to, I started out in Catholic school, ended up after marrying my wife in First Presbyterian, been there ever since, 40 some odd years. But For 152, 150 years, that church has been there. And looking back on those, there's been some great leaders. My wife's family has a lot of history. It started in 1940. And there's been some issues over the years. But the foundation is God's church. I know the organization we belong to, PCUSA, had some issues for many, many years. And First Press stayed faithful to the scriptures. And they dealt with the other issues. And finally, about 10 years ago, they decided to change leaders as far as the umbrella of the church, of our church goes. But one of the things that I had to God impressed upon me was 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. And what I'm about to say is foundational for male leadership. But in talking to one of the pastors, that also suggests it was in that certain period of time, this may have been more prevalent, more leadership style than any other times of history. But let me set the stage a little bit, some guidelines. In 1 Timothy 3:7, it starts out by saying, and I'm going to use these words and kind of define them. The overseer means men who are responsible to lead the church. In the New Testament, words bishop, elder, overseer, pastor are used interchangeably to describe the same men as follows. But let me read 1 Timothy 3:1-7. There is a faithful saying. If a man desires to the position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop but must be blameless, the husband of one wife, but is more, and that suggests this is not necessarily a marital status that he may not be married, but his moral and sexual purity are on the line here. And this is because today men are more prone to fall. We've seen that in so many churches from senior pastors on down. And the final thing is they should be temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. Three, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not covetous. Here's the one I think that fits all of us. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Not a dictator, but a man who knows God's heart and knows who is in charge and knows what needs to be done within that church context. And I got lost here. I want the other part of this, and these were mine. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not somebody that's just out of seminary, not somebody that hasn't even been a pastor within a previous church. Because you may be puffed up with pride. Gosh, somebody chose me right out of seminary. I think I'm pretty shy. And finally, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the crows and snare the devil. Men, if they're good, solid leaders, those around them will lift him up. If I brag about myself that I'm worthless, they'll let me know as well. But as I start to mention, the word overseer means men who are responsible to lead the church, and bishop, elder, overseer, pastor are interchangeable. A little bit of scripture to give some foundation to that, along with the 1 Timothy 3, we have 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and the doctrine. Paul explains to Timothy how to restore some pastoral issues in that community, in that period of time. Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Titus 1:5-9, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife and all of the characteristics that I mentioned in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partake of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherds of the flock of God, which is among you. Seers, overseers, serving not by compulsion, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly doing what God calls them to do. And there's some other characteristics of a leader that show that there is a sense of God's government that reaches out to all of us. Not that women have not been gifted, but not the same as men. Now, there are going to be men that may try for a pastorship and not be gifted. And we look at that sense of purpose in their lives. Where do they come from? What their background? Do they follow the scriptures? Do they look at God and say, what do you want me to do today for you? Have I been given a sense of preaching, teaching? Can I reach out and minister to a whole congregation? Grace Commons, which used to be First Press, has been a staple church within this community for 150 years. And I guess I have to say, the new group, the ECO, Evangelical Covenant, Evangelical Order of Covenant Presbyterians, is the governing body that we moved from because of so many issues within PCUSA. And I didn't look at their history. I didn't look at their ground rules for how they run the church, who they ordain, what they preach, until about 2 weeks ago. And the background and history is that we lost our pastor for a couple of reasons about 2 years ago. And in this process, we've had pastor come to our church to help guide and set up the infrastructure. And that infrastructure means part of who they're going to bring in as a senior pastor. And within that context, part of what they are now adhering to after a number of years is the egalitarianism focus, which means women will now be ordained. And if you've paid attention in the Christian community, Southern Baptists have decided to go back to ordaining only men. There's a number of other churches that have done the same. But we look at what God has created in each man and each woman, know that there is a reason for the choice of men over women. But this subject is somewhat controversial. I mean, there's different ways to look at it. There's different contexts. I've chosen this one. I hope it's not out of my maleness, my ego. I don't think that's the issue. I think that God is, I look at the scriptures and say, where do I fit into the church? Where does whoever the new leader is going to be fits into the church? Look at this church, Pastor Van, the number of years that he was a leader here. And I see that it's hard to judge what God's going to do. I think there's a couple of churches within this community that have female pastors. And there's one over in Broomfield that I have a cousin, my wife's cousin, that has a female leadership. And there were men and women at one time, and then the men left. I don't know the reason. I don't know if it was because of scripture. I can't say that it was or it was not. But where does God's word fit in to our understanding of how God wants his church run and who is capable of doing that? It's getting to the point these days, you look at what's happening around the world. To change the subject a little bit, my wife and I were sitting watching a Christian TV channel, and we got to see the Asbury Church and the revival that's going on there. University has about 1,600 kids, and I think that probably all of them were there that night. But the sense and power of what God was doing in these young people, they were standing and confessing, repenting, showing that God is actually here amidst us, in our midst, and saying, we want to move on. I think Oklahoma University, it was something in on the Christian Channel that they have leased 86,000 seats. So they also can have a revival. And I think in the days to come, we will see more universities doing that, because these young people, that's where the revival is these days. We see what's happened to the young people. Sometimes they come out of homes and they feel entitled. Sometimes they don't know where they want to go. Sometimes they go to college because their parents want them to go there. But when they get out, there's no passion for what they've been trained to do. So all my grandkids would struggle with that. What can we say when Scripture says the man should be the leadership in an organization or in God's church? Not that women can't share, not that women can't teach others. But after 150 years, we just ordained the first female in our church. And this step, I don't know how I'd say this, the next step could very easily be female senior pastor. And our pastors and the leaders, and this is the first year I have ever heard this, when they pray, God, who is the man or the woman you're going to bring? Is that wrong? I guess each of us have to search our heart to really know what that means. Do we trust the Scriptures? Do we trust God's leadership? We can all have all kinds of examples I could probably carry on. Jesus didn't appoint any female apostles. But those are things that I need to go past, because I need to look at what the Scripture says about leading the church. And it really stunned me when, and I should have looked at this a long time ago, but the leader of the organization of their warrior under, he had a little comment out here, and I may find it, I may not, but the sense was that we're going to hire females to ordain them, and then in the process say, why don't you think about being senior pastors? Is that a biblical foundation, or is that man's sense of where the church should go and where they should be? And I know in my own heart that God has a reason for choosing the leadership. And I still stand here and say, I'm not sure whether we'll have a male or a female. And I can't tell you that 10 years down the road, it will still be a thriving church. Because that's God's call, not mine. We look at history. What did God do to the nation Israel? He brought in Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus to bring Israel back to Jerusalem. And both of those were, if you will, evil kings. Should we be aware of something more than that? Should we be trying to say who is in charge and who will be the next pastor of our church or any church? I can't say that I've gone to a church that had a female pastor. And I don't know what it would sound like, what it would look like. But I know that, I guess I keep bringing back to our recall, what does God's word say about who's going to lead and who is not? And God has given women great gifts that men do not have. And if they maintain their focus on God, those gifts will be just as valuable as being a pastor. And sometimes more, who raises all of our kids in our homes, usually the mother. God assigned Adam to go out and work in the garden. God assigned Jim for to go out and get a job and bring money in. And we have children, not that I wasn't part of them, but I'll tell you, for 38 years, I wasn't a very good part of them. My wife, God bless her, she did a wonderful job of raising our three children. But that's something that each of us have to look at and say, well, what will I do? What am I going to do if a woman pastor is chosen in our church? I will have to make a decision. I could walk out now. Unfortunately, we have so many friends there and so many people that we've known for, since 1972. Is that an excuse for staying? Not necessarily, but in this case, because of my wife's condition, she's got macular degeneration. I think I mentioned that one on the left eye, she can't see it, but the right one's going. And to start over someplace else. But that's a personal decision I have to make. But I hope this morning and anytime that you confront those issues, no matter whether it's a senior pastor who's a woman, whether it's the pastor that's in there that needs to be booted out for compromising situations. Those are the decisions that God has given us the scriptures to fall back on. And we should have maintained that issue. Our young people, I've got my five grandsons, three out of the five accepted Jesus, my granddaughter has, and yet none of them are going to church right now. They're out in the world, they're struggling with what's going on, they can't really find a good church. I don't know where it's going to go, but all I can do is pray for them. All I can do is love them.
Right.
Beyond my own personal thoughts of, why aren't you doing what I tell you to do? And I imagine my parents thought the same thing about me. So I'm standing here saying, God is good, and he will bring them back.
Amen.
What's the psalm that says, raise a child up in the way they should go, and in later life it will come back. And understandings of that. But what I like is when my child was born, I tried to direct them in a certain direction. I didn't look at who they were, what their character was like, what God had already put in front of me in this child. I tried to raise them to the way I wanted to be, in the sense of we need to still be responsible for bringing the scriptures to them. But I needed to look at their personality, because God had already created a personality in them. He'd already put their names in the book of life. I'd like to know what name he put in the book of life and what my name is when he threw in there. But we look at it and say, God, what is it you're doing today when these six young people are struggling? But I think so many of us who have children probably have the same issues. Whether they go to church, whether they follow in my footsteps, I want them to follow in God's footsteps.
Right.
And I know that in time, I pray that that will happen, because I don't have the answer. I don't know the end from the beginning. I just know what I've done. Some things well, some things not so well. But those I've got to forget the past and look at the future. And in my age 82, I'm not going to be here all that long, I don't think. I may last another 10 years. I may last another 10 months. I don't know how everybody's been through bladder cancer. But nobody knows what tomorrow brings. But we know what today brings. We know that God brings something for me to do for my children, for my church. And enjoy you men as you listen this morning to something that maybe you've never considered or never really thought about. I struggled with doing this. I was going to do 1 Corinthians 13. I had that planned out, and some questions to ask you. All of a sudden, here I stand talking about something totally different. And I have to assume that God had a reason for it. I don't know whether it was just to fill in space this morning or not. But who knows what's in that space that God has for each of us. And I thank you for listening to what God has for each of us. So go back and have some more coffee and donuts. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done to these men this morning. We all have to start somewhere. And I'm looking for the end. I was thinking about reading Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. And I read a part of it, and then I decided I really want to be overwhelmed. So I think I'll leave the rest of it. Maybe not because there's more to the story than just what I presented this morning. God bless you, man.
Hallelujah. Thank you.